Do we really mean what that song says? Does his promises never fail? Huh? Is that something to rejoice and to have joy about? Absolutely. And we stand on those promises. And look, Sukkot is one of those promises. These feast days are those promises. He said he's coming back, and you can best believe he is. What a great God we serve. I'm telling you, it's exciting. This is an exciting time. This is a time to be happy, full of joy, singing, dancing. Look, I know some of y'all dance a lot. I'm going to look this way. I'm not going to look to the side. I'm not going to look to the side. Boy, the Sukkot's pretty, huh, Pastor? It looks good, man. I tell you. I mean, so, look, we ain't got to be stiff as a board. Rejoice. We got to work on that. He tells us to in the scripture. He says, rejoice. This is a happy time. Look, so he did something awesome for us. I'm excited. I'm so excited about Sukkot. 7 days it is. 7 days. Then he throws in food and sweets and all that with it. He said, y'all feast. But more important, I want to tabernacle with y'all. The sukkah y'all built, I want to come. I never forgot Sister Lois and Brother Preston's testimony last year when they got in that sukkah. The presence. That's what I've been praying every day. Lord, whatever sukkah I go in, I want to feel your presence. I want your glory in that, every last one. That I'm not, look, us gathering, is we love that. That's, he tells us to. But he says, I'll be in your midst. That's what I want. I want him in our midst, whatever sukkah we in. That's where I want him to show up at. And I'm not connecting for some reason. Mic done fell off. Telling you, it's exciting times, man. It really is. The deliverance took me out of spiritual bondage. He took me out of spiritual Egypt. Took me out of that place. And you talking about you want to praise him and worship him and give him the honor? Absolutely, every single day. Every opportunity, especially from this time right here. So good to us. How many enjoyed the first night? That was powerful. That was awesome. Look, we needed that. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, that wasn't for me. Because look, all of us got some brushing up to do. We got a year to prepare. I was thinking about that. You know, we don't have lambs to prepare, goats to raise up for a year. But man, what about trees that we pass? Oh, I need that one next year. I need that one. I need this one. That's what I was thinking. This is just me. All right, here we go. I'm just going to read a couple of meanings, and then I'm going to skip down a few slides. So much scripture. I know, you know, we heard them, but there's just, I want to get to a part. This is where Pastor left off, right here before this one. And so I just read a couple. The meaning of the word Sukkot. The word Sukkot, plural, for sukkah, is Hebrew for tabernacles, booths, or any tent-like temporary dwelling. The tabernacle, or Mishkan, that Yahweh commanded Moses to construct in the wilderness was a sukkah, literally a portable tent or habitation for Yahweh himself. And the fact the time period of the Feast of Sukkot marks the beginning of Israel's construction for the Mishkan tabernacle, for Moses received the second tablets containing the 10 statements of Yahweh on Yom Teruah, and it was immediately after that the Torah records that the Israelites begin building the tabernacle. The sukkah, a flimsy tent-like dwelling, just like our bodies, no different. Flimsy, vapor. The scripture says it's like vapor. Represents the fertility. And why? Because he wants us to put all our trust in him. Let me provide for you. Don't build nothing strong. Let it be flimsy. Because I want you to totally rely on me. frailty of man's physical life, for the physical body of man is nothing more than a temporary dwelling in which mortal man lives, 2 Corinthians 5, 1-6, until physical death occurs, followed by the resurrection of the saints into eternal life. While in this physical state, man must totally depend on his Creator for some things, for everything. Totally depend on me for everything. Without whom we would perish both physically and spiritually in the wilderness in which we find ourselves called life. This is exactly the lesson we learned from the children of Israel experienced during 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. They depended totally upon Yah for food, water, clothing, protection from the heat, cold, and their enemies. No different than from us today. Totally depend on Him for everything, for our food, our water, our clothing, our jobs. Whatever life brings, His protection, totally depend upon Him. Yahweh is sukkah with His people, but Yahweh desires to dwell among His people. That's why He say, build those, I want to dwell amongst you. In the past, He did not choose to dwell in a mansion or castle, but a tent, something simple. Just like this, just like His people, the tent of meeting or tabernacle, in the wilderness, as it is variously called, literally, Yahweh sukkah over His people in the pillar of fire which rested over the tent. How many want that? I want you to sukkah upon me. In the tent of meeting or Mishkan, Yahweh sukking in His people is beautiful picture on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, when the same spiritual fire of Yah came to dwell this time in the hearts of believers, as Yeshua predicted. And those scriptures are John, we're not going to read them, but they're John 14, 15 through 31, John 15, 26, John 16, 7 through 13, and Acts 1, 5 through 9. Look at this meaning. Sukkah is all about coming before Yah, who is with us. He is in our midst, and we offer up sacrifice of praise, rejoicing and thanksgiving before Him, expressing our joy and gratitude for the fact that He delivered us out of spiritual Egypt and lead us through this life, which is a wilderness, with a fire by night and a cloud by day. Huh? You think we ought to rejoice and show Him gratitude, expressing our joy? He delivered us out of spiritual Egypt. That's why I'm excited. So let's go on down. Right here, some additional concepts. This is where we'll start. Some additional concepts regarding the sukkah. Number one, there's 6 points we're going to point out. Yeshua tabernacle, He sukkahed among His people, John 1:14. And He was the true tabernacle, Hebrews 9:11. He was the true tabernacle. And the Word became flesh and pitched His tent among us. Yeshua came and pitched His tent among us. And we saw His esteem. We saw His glory. Esteem as an only brought forth of a Father, complete in favor and truth. Hebrews 9:11. But Messiah, having become a high priest. He didn't come high priest when He came the first time. Remember that. Of the coming good matters through the greater and more perfect tent. Listen, He fulfilled that in His resurrection, when He ascended back to the Father. He became that high priest. He's in that greater, more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. Because listen, the tent right here is flimsy. Man made it. We made it. He didn't become high priest of this tent. He became high priest of a greater and more perfect. A perfect tent. And that's the Strong's talking about tent. It's G4633, a tent, tabernacle, any temporary dwelling, a tent, booth, the tabernacle of the covenant. That's some scriptures, Matthew 17:4, Hebrews 11:9, Hebrews 8:5, 9:1. 9:21, 13:10, celestial of true tabernacle, Hebrews 8:2, 9:11, a division or compartment of the tabernacle, Hebrews 9:2, 3, and 6, a small portable tent or shrine, Acts 7:43, an abode or seat of a lineage, Acts 15:16, a mansion, habitation, abode, dwelling, Luke 16:9, Revelation 13:6. If you need those, I'll give it to you after. It's a bunch of scriptures. Number two, scripture likens our physical bodies to a physical sukkah. 2 Corinthians 5:1-5 and 2 Peter 1:13-14. 2 Corinthians 5. For we know that if the tent of our earthly house is destroyed, we have a building from Elohim. Hallelujah. We know that if the tent of our earthly house is destroyed, and we know it will be one day. It will be destroyed. We have a building. What a promise. We have a building from Elohim, a house not made with hands, that perfect tent, everlasting in the heavens. For indeed, if we groan, notice, what when you're groaning for something, what does that mean? It means that it's something you want so, so bad. It hurts you in the inside. You ever cry so hard to where your muscles in your stomach hurt? You groan for this, longing to put on our dwelling, which is from heaven, so that having put it on, we shall not be found naked. For indeed, verse 4, we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we wish to put it off, but to put on the other, so that what is to die might be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this same purpose is Elohim, who has given us the Spirit as a pledge of what is to come. Listen, without that Spirit, we won't make it. We have to have that set apart Spirit that he's given us to pledge of what is to come. 2 Peter 1:13-14. But I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by a reminder, knowing that the putting off of my tent is soon, even as our Master Yeshua Messiah made clear to me. Number three, the tabernacle of Moses in the wilderness is called the tent of habitation. Acts 7:44 and Hebrews 9:1-8. Acts 7:44, the tent of witness was with our fathers in the wilderness, as he appointed, instructing Moshe to make it according to the pattern that he has seen. Listen, we kind of joke with the women who put this together, because it's almost to the pattern that was sent. There is some wood that was left out. They claim it's extra, but it kind of slipped up and said no. It's called cause for 13 of something, and they only put 3. Not saying they didn't do a good job. It's beautiful. The job is good. I'm just saying. According to the pattern, it's life lessons in scriptures that he had seen. Moshe couldn't have not put it according to Yahweh's pattern. He wouldn't have dwelled in it. He wouldn't have dwelled in it. It had to be according to the pattern. You're still with me, huh? Don't get mad. Sister Connie's not in here, huh? Oh, good. Let's keep going. Hebrews 9:1-8. Now the first covenant indeed had regulations of worship in the earthly set-apart place. For a tent was prepared, the first part in which the lampstand and the table and the showbread, which is called the set-apart place. And after the second veil, the part of the tent which is called most set apart, to which belong the golden censer and the ark of the covenant, overlaid on all sides with gold, in which was a golden pot that held the manna and the rod of Aaron that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. And above it, the cherubim of esteem were overshadowing the place of atonement, about which we do not now speak in detail. And these having been prepared like this, the priests always went into the first part of the tent accomplishing services. But into the second part, the high priest went only once a year. And what is our high priest doing right now? He don't go in just once a year. He goes in every time we have a mess up. Every time we have a slip up, he's up there making intercession for us, pleading. He's our advocate. Father, don't take me. Don't get rid of them. That's what he's doing every time. But look, once a year was this high priest allowed to do it. The set apart spirit signifying this, that the way into the most set apart place was not yet made manifest while the first tent has a standing. The set apart spirit signifying this, that the way into the most set apart place was not yet made manifest while the first tent has a standing. This hasn't been manifested yet because this tent is still standing. The patriarchs lived in tents, tabernacles, Hebrews 11, 8 through 9. By belief, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he had about to receive as an inheritance. By what? By belief, by faith. Takes faith to obey, takes belief to obey. When he was called to go out to the place which he was about to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By belief, he sojourned in the land of promise as a stranger, dwelling in tents with Yishak and Yaakov, the heirs with him of the same promise. Number 5, Scripture speaks of a heavenly tabernacle. Hebrews 8, 1 and 2, Revelations 15, 1 through 5. This tabernacle will come down to the earth. Revelations 21, 1 through 3. Hebrews 8. Now the summary of what we are saying is, we have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the greatness in the heaven. Nobody can take that spot. That spot was reserved for him. Listen, before the foundations of the world. And they got some awesome created beings that Yahweh created in the heavens, but none can sit at that right hand of the throne of greatness in the heavens, and who serves in the set apart place and of the true tent which Yah set up and not man. What is he doing? He's serving continually. Because listen, we have plenty slip ups. So he has to serve. He has to serve all the time, continually for us. And not just for us, for the whole world. Think about it, for the whole world. Revelations 15, and I saw another sign in the heaven, great and marvelous. Picture this, what John's seeing right here. 7 messengers having the 7 last plagues, for the wrath of Elohim was ended in them. And I saw like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and those overcoming the beast and his image and his mark and the number of his name standing on the sea of glass, holding harps of Elohim. And they sing the song of Moshe, the servant of Elohim, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Yah El Shaddai, righteous and true are your ways, O sovereign of the set apart ones, who shall not fear you, O Yah, and esteem your name, because you alone are kind. Because all nations shall come and worship before you, and for your righteousness have been made manifest. And after this, I looked and saw the dwelling place of the tent of witness in the heaven was open. Picture this, that what John's seeing. It can't go out of order. As long as this tent here is still open, that is not coming down just yet, what John is seeing. It's a process. It has to go in its order. Revelations 21, 1 through 3. And I saw renewed heaven and renewed earth. For the former heaven and the former earth had passed away, and the sea is no more. And I, Yohanan, saw the set apart city, renewed Jerusalem, coming down out of the heavens from Elohim, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Listen, look what he's seeing. He's seeing it coming down, but in its order. And I heard a loud voice from the heaven saying, see, the booth of Elohim is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and Elohim himself shall be with them and be their Elohim. Hallelujah. Huh? The booth, the tabernacle, the tent is with men, and he shall dwell with them. Hallelujah. Number six, when the children of Israel left Egypt, they lived in tents or sukkahs, plural Sukkot, on their way to the promised land. This was to emphasize the fact that while the saints of the Most High live on this earth, they are pilgrims and sojourners. They are in the world and not of the world. 1 John 17:11-14. They are in the world, but not of the world. We're sojourners here on this earth, pilgrims, he calls us, and are just passing through on their way to a heavenly kingdom. And what he said, it's coming down. It's not up. His kingdom is coming down. John 17:11-14. And I am no more in the world. Say that. I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, set apart Father. Guard them in your name, which you have given me, so that they might be one as we are one. When I was with them in the world, I was guarding them in your name, which you have given me, and I watched over them, and not one of them perished except the son of destruction, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And now I come to you, and I speak these words in the world, so that they have my joy completed in them. Whose joy? His joy. I have given them your word. I have given them your Torah. And the world hated them because they are not of the world, as I am not of the world. That wasn't a stop slide. Deuteronomy 6:4-5. Hear, O Israel, Yah our Elohim, Yah is one. And you shall love Yah your Elohim with all your heart, with all your being, and with all your might. Listen, that scripture says we got to love him with everything that is in us, the whole human body. Deuteronomy 18:18-19. And I shall raise up for them a prophet like you out of the midst of their brothers. And I shall put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And Yeshua, what he said? These words that I speak, they're not my own, he told them. It's from the Father. And it shall be the man who does not listen to my words, which he speaks in my name, I require it of him. Individual. It's not going to be Faith Temple Ministries congregation when he judges. It's going to be individual. It's going to require it of ourselves personally. Ezekiel 36:25-27. And I shall sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I cleanse you, and I shall give you a new heart. Thank you for a new heart. Thank you for that new heart. And put a new spirit within you. And I shall take the heart of stone out of your flesh, and I shall give you the heart of flesh. Took that stony heart, that heart of disobedience out of us. Huh? Putting us back to his Torah. And put my spirit within you, and I shall cause you to walk in my laws and guard my right rulings and shall do them. Why is Sukkot so important for us to celebrate and remember? Listen, it's what this picture of Sukkot is also, he's going to restore what's from back to its original. What he had in the garden, we're going to read, what he had intended to in the very beginning of the garden, and man's sin sent world into total chaos. He's going to restore that. So important that we celebrate and remember. Acts 3:19-26. Repent, therefore, and turn back for the blotting out of your sins in order, why? That times of refreshing might come from the presence of the Master. Listen, we just sounds like we just come through this. through repenting, huh? Thank you. The times of refreshing might come from me, from the presence of the Master, and that he sends Yeshua Messiah pre-appointed for you. Listen, we can't go 7 days of straight partying without his Spirit. Times of refreshing. He refreshes you. Try to do that on your own. Try to do that with some liquid courage and see how many headaches. You don't wake up with a headache during his celebrating 7 days with him. There is no headache. You feel refreshed. I mean, can't you tell? I am refreshed. And it's been some long days and some late nights. I can't get into detail, but we had a little incident at the house last night, and it wasn't even funny. Because they got some cat lovers in here, so I can't even say. I'm not even going to say what. It was in the house, and I wanted it out, and it wasn't agreeing with me. It was hissing at me, jumping at me, and I didn't like that. So I had some reinforcement, but I didn't do nothing, Pastor. I let it out the door by itself. So I am refreshed this morning. I thought I would have been tired. Look, you still get up at 5 o'clock and you go to study, you go to read, you go to pray. Only God. Amen. Only God can do that. I'm telling you, only him. And that he sends Yeshua Messiah pre-appointed for you, whom heaven needs to receive until the times of restoration. Listen, times of restoration is coming to this earth. And it's going to be a wonderful time, and I can't wait. And it's going to be just as he planned from the very beginning. It will be no more sin, no more. For all matters of which Elohim spoke through the mouth of all his set-apart prophets since of old. The prophets spoke of this. For Moshe truly said to the fathers, Yah, your Elohim, shall raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. Him you shall hear according to all matters, whatever he says to you. We just read that in Deuteronomy. And it shall be that every being who does not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Saul's quoting the same thing, quoting the scriptures, quoting Deuteronomy. And likewise, all the prophets who have spoken from Shemuel and those following have also announced these days. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which Elohim made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Listen, that's how he created everything from the very beginning. Everything was blessed. But you get not far in it, here come the curses. Curse is the ground you're going to fall from. Not very long after his creation. But in the very beginning, he wanted everybody to be blessed. He wants you blessed. To you first, Elohim, having raised up his servant Yeshua, sent him to bless you in turning away each one of you from your wicked ways. Hallelujah. Isaiah 45, 15 through 18. Truly, you are El, who hide yourself, O Elohim of Israel, Savior. They shall be put to shame and even be humiliated. All of them, the makers of idols, shall go away together in humiliation. Yisrael shall be saved by Yah with an everlasting deliverance. That's us, grafted in Israel. Saved by Yah with an everlasting deliverance. Joy. You want joy, shout, dancing. Why? Because we're saved with an everlasting deliverance. You are not to be ashamed nor hurt forever and ever. What brings us shame? Sin brings shame upon us. Sin, that's what brings. He says, once you deliver from an everlasting deliverance, there's no more shame. There's no more sin. We have nothing to be ashamed about. No more hurt forever. For thus says Yah, creator of the heavens. He is Elohim, former of earth and its maker. He established it. He did not create it to be empty. He didn't create it to be void. Sin caused all that. He formed it to be inhabited. I am Yah, and there is none else. Man's failure, breaking the Torah, caused separation of Elohim from his creation. But Yahweh will Sukkot with his creation again. because of man failure. And this is where I wanted to get to. This is the highlight. Acts 3, 19 through 23. Repent, therefore, and turn back, teshuvah, from the blotting out of your sins, in order that times of refreshing might come from the presence of the Master. We read that. And that he sends Yeshua Messiah pre-appointed for you, whom heavens need to receive until the times of restoration of all matters of which Elohim spoke through the mouth of all his set-apart prophets since of old. For Moshe truly said to the fathers, Yah, your Elohim, shall raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. Him you shall hear according to all matters, whatever he says to you. I put this in twice. Must have needed to hear it. And it shall be that every being who does not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Genesis 1, 26 through 31. And Elohim said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. And let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over all creeping creatures that creep on the ground. What are his intentions? For us to rule. From the very beginning, he wanted us to rule, but we are being ruled right now by the world, by sin in general, by, look, sickness, debt, that rules us. Think about it. It rules us. But he didn't create that. And Elohim created the man in his image. In the image of Elohim, he created him, male and female. He created them. And Elohim blessed them. Notice, blessed them. And Elohim said to them, be fruitful and increase, and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over all creeping creatures on the earth. And Elohim says, see, I have given you every plant. Notice what they're eating. That yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed to you, it is for food. Think about it. There was no meat back then. Plants and fruits. Sounds like a good diet, huh? Some of the men in here are already on it. I wonder where they get that from. The scripture, Torah. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to every creeping creature on the earth, in which there is a living being, every green plant is for food, and it came to be so. And Elohim saw all that he had made, and see, it was very good. Very good from the very beginning. And there came to be evening, and there came to be morning the sixth day. Genesis 2, 8, 9. And Yah, Elohim, planted a garden in Eden to the east. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground, Yah, Elohim, made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for the food, with the tree of life in the midst of the garden and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Two trees. Genesis 2, 15 to 25. And Yah, Elohim, took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it and to guard it. And Yah Elohim commanded the man, saying, eat of every tree of the garden. Eat of every tree. But do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in that day you eat of it, you shall certainly die. Now, why was there Torah and instructions in the garden? The very first Torah, very first instructions right there. Lord, do not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for in that day you shall surely die. Listen, and we can even go deeper, because not only do men die, everything dies. The earth dies, animals dies, hundreds of thousands. We just counted them the other night. Hundreds, thousands of animals die. Everything dies. So it wasn't just man that died. Everything was dying. And he didn't create that from the very beginning. And Yah Elohim said, oh, you know why there was Torah and instructions in the garden? Because love is defined by choice. To love Yah, you choose to obey him. That's why. Love is defined by choice. And to love Yah, you choose to obey him. And Yah Elohim said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I am going to make a helper for him as his counterpart. And from the ground, Yah Elohim formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call him. He had all authority. He gave him authority over everything, to even name the animals. And whatever the man called each living being, that was its name. So the man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for the man, there was not found a helper for him as his counterpart. So Yah Elohim caused a deep sleep to fall on the man, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Can you imagine that? I bet it wasn't even a scar. You're talking about a great, you're talking about when you got to go through surgery and how important it is to pray? That the hands of the surgeon that's doing the surgery, that Yah's got in his hands? Because look, he put Adam to sleep and no anesthesia. His anesthesia. And closed up the flesh in his place. And the rib which Yah Elohim had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And the man said, this is now bones of my bones and flesh of my flesh. The one is called woman because she was taken out of man. For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, yet they were not ashamed. They were both naked, but yet not ashamed. Watch what sin does. Genesis 3, 1 through 24. And the serpent, was more crafty than all the lives of the field, which Yah Elohim has made. And he said to the woman, is it true that Elohim has said, do not eat of the tree of the garden? Look, he spoke a little bit of truth, but he twisted with a whole bunch of lies. And he does that today. He gives you a little bit of truth, but then he gives a whole bunch of lies and doubt, and it gets you to doubt. Same thing he did. And the woman said to the Nahash, we are to eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. Elohim has said, do not eat of it, nor touch it, lest you die. And the Nahash said to the woman, you shall certainly not die. For Elohim knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be like Elohim, knowing good and evil. No, again, just a little bit of truth. He wasn't lying. Their eyes were open, and they knew good and evil. They knew it. We're going to read and find out. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food. It was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise. Same sins that's going on today. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Same, that's what that is. Same thing. Saw that it was the tree good for food, the lust of the flesh. We deal with that. Pleasant to the eyes and a desirable to make one wise, the pride. And she took of his fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And we all know that he could have easily canceled that out, easily. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made loan coverings for themselves. They try to make a tone. Look, when you try to atone for yourself, it just doesn't work. You can't atone your own self, and that's what they did. They took fig leaves to try to make their own coverings. And Yah said, that's not how we do it. Can't be done like that. And they heard the voice of Yah Elohim walking about in the garden in the cool of the day. Notice, think about that. Every day they had that face-to-face. They had that heart-to-heart, that spirit-to-spirit. They had that koinonia with Elohim. Every day they heard the voice of Elohim walking in the garden in the cool of the day. You know how many walks they must have took with him up to this point? And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Elohim. What caused you to hide? Anybody ever try to hide themselves? Many a time. I tried. Sin causes us to do that when we're ashamed. Sin. I ran for years. I was trying to hide, but you can't hide from him. You can't, and I'm so thankful that his hand was upon me even when I didn't deserve it to be upon me. Huh? Even when I was trying to hide from him. He's like, no, you can run. You can run, Josh. You can run. Ah, thank you, Father, for bringing me to this spot where I'm at today. Hallelujah. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Yah Elohim among the trees of the garden. And Yah Elohim called unto Adam and said, where are you? Yah knew where he was at. Where are you? Because I know every day we met at this certain spot right here to walk in the cool of the day, face to face, heart to heart, spirit to spirit, and you're not here to meet me on this appointed time. It's appointed, me and you met. And he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. And he said, who made you know that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? They broke his Torah. They broke his instruction. It says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. And the man said, the woman. The woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me the tree and I ate it. This is the first biblical blame game. Right here. The first biblical blame game. The first time we started passing it down that you did it, she did it, pastor did it. This is the first one right here, the blame game started. The woman. None of us said that in here. I know that. I never. And I lied there. And Yah Elohim said to the woman, I can't say that. Then, what is this you have done? There goes the woman. What she said? And the woman said, the Nahash, the serpent, deceived me and I ate. And Yah Elohim said to the Nahash, because you have done, and the poor serpent, he ain't got nobody to blame. He can't say nobody. I mean, you the problem. You the root cause. I think some of us can learn from the serpent. We the root cause sometimes, but yet we want to point the finger. We want to blame. We want to be Adam and Eve. We don't want to be the serpent, not me. Because you have done this, you are cursed. There, here it goes. No more blessing. Blessings out the window. You are cursed more than all livestock and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you are to go and eat dust all the days of your life. And I put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He shall crush your head and you shall crush his heel. Talking about the death, burial, resurrection of Yeshua. That's what he's talking about when he said your seed and her seed. He's talking about Yeshua. And listen, don't think that what the Roman soldiers did, that really crushed him. He really went through a lot of suffering. But let's take it a little deeper. Let's go a little more spiritual. What about our sins? You don't think our sins crushed him? Huh? Crushed, and you don't think we bruise his heel? How many times we bruise his heel? Think about that. The weight of the world, every sin of the world upon him. And how many times we crushed that heel? To the woman he said, I greatly increase your sorrow and your conception. Bring forth children in pain, and your desire is for your husband, and he does rule over you. And to the man he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife. What is he saying right here? Because you listened to the voice of your wife. Now, he's not saying that we shouldn't. He told Abraham, listen to the voice of your wife. But because he's telling him right here, because don't listen to the voice of your wife, because she's telling you to disobey my word. Big difference. Big difference when you look at it that way. Don't listen to your wife's voice if it's going to cause you to sin or cause you to say something against the Torah. And have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, do not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you are to eat of it all the days of your life. Cursed is the ground. Listen, when you're having a bad day at work and your toil is tough, thank Adam. Tell him thank you. And the ground shall bring forth thorns and thistles for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By sweat of your face you are to eat bread until you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you return. And the man called his wife named Hawa, because she became the mother of all living. And Yah Elohim made coats of skin. Atonement. Notice what happened. Here goes the sacrifices of the animals. Fig leaves couldn't work. Animal, innocent animal. Can you imagine that little innocent animal that was blessed, created from the very beginning, going to a slaughtering place that Yah had to kill? And the man and his wife, for the man and his wife, and dressed them. And Elohim says, see, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. So Yah Elohim sent him out of the garden of Eden to till the ground from which he taken. And we would think, oh man, I thought Yah is so merciful and so loving. Huh? He's putting them out. Yeah. Thank that he put them out. Can you imagine living forever in sin? Can you imagine that? Unless he take up the tree of life and eat and live forever. So Yah Elohim sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. And he drove the man out. And he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword which turned away to guard the way to the tree of life. Yah is so merciful. So merciful. Romans 8, 16 through 23. The Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of Elohim. And if children, also heirs, truly heirs of Elohim, and co-heirs with Messiah, if indeed we suffer with him, in order that we also be exalted together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the esteem that is to be revealed in us. For the intense longing of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of Elohim. Not only we waiting, but the creation, the earth is eagerly. But notice how it's got a process. Yeshua's resurrection. And what it says? For the intense longing of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons. The earth is waiting for our resurrection. Eagerly for the revealing of the sons of Elohim. For the creation was subjected to futility, not from choice, but because of him who subjected it in anticipation, that the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage to corruption into the esteemed freedom of the children of Elohim. The creation itself is going to be delivered. It's going to be restored back to its original purpose. For we know that all the creation groans together and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only so, but even we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we ourselves also groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Hallelujah. We're eagerly waiting for that, for our adoption and the redemption. 2 Corinthians 4, 13 through 18 is talking about our outward man perishing. Verse 13, but having the same spirit of belief, according to what has been written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised up the master Yeshua shall also raise us up through Yeshua and shall present us with you. For all this is for your sake, so that favor, having spread through the many, will cause thanksgiving to overflow unto the esteem of Elohim. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but even if our outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary pressure is working for us a far more exceeding and everlasting weight of esteem. We are not looking on what is seen, but on what is not seen. For what is seen passes away, but what is not seen is everlasting. Hallelujah. We're not looking at what's going on around us. Don't get caught up in what's happening around us. The prize. Keep our eyes on the prize. He that endures to the end shall be saved. 1 Corinthians 15, 22, 12 through 28 is the resurrection of the dead is the key to the restoration of creation. The key to restoration of creation. And if Messiah is proclaimed that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Messiah has not been raised. And if Messiah has not been raised, then our proclaiming is empty and your belief also empty. What are you saying? What we're doing is it don't make no sense then. We're doing it for nothing. If we don't believe that he has been raised, then what we're saying and what we're doing is void. It's for nothing. It's empty. And we also are found false witnesses of Elohim, because we have witnessed of Elohim that he raised up Messiah, whom he did not raise up, if then the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then neither Messiah has been raised. And if Messiah has not been raised, your belief is to no purpose. You are still in your sins. Who want to take that on? You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Messiah have perished. If in this life only we have expectation in Messiah, we are of all men the most wretched. But now Messiah has been raised from the dead and has become the first fruit of those having fallen asleep. The first fruit. For since death is through a man, resurrection of the dead is also through a man. Talking about both Adams. Because of the first Adam, we got death. But hallelujah, thank God for our second Adam. Resurrection through him. For as all die in Adam, so also all shall be made alive in Messiah. And each one in his own order. You see that process? It can't get out of order. Messiah the first fruit, then those who are of Messiah at his coming. Everybody don't make it. And I know that's what they teach. You go preach, teach, you go to a funeral. You'll never hear nobody went to, he in hell. Everybody go to heaven. Huh? It's not what the scripture says. Then those who are of Messiah at his coming. Then the end, when he delivers up the reign to Elohim the Father, when he has brought to naught all rule and all authority and power, for he has to reign until he has put all enemies under his feet, and the last enemy to be brought to naught is death. No more death, the last enemy. For he has put all under his feet, but when he says all are put under him, it is clear that he who put all under him is expected. And when all are made subject to him, then the Son himself shall also be subject to him who put all under him. Talking about Elohim, in order that Elohim be all in all. He's going to give it all back to the Father. He's going to turn it right back over to him. Revelations 19, 6 and 9. And I heard as the voice of a great crowd, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thunder, saying, Hallelujah! For Yah El Shaddai reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him praise, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife prepared herself. That's what we're doing, preparing ourselves. He's restoring it back to the original. And to her it was given to be dressed in fine linen, and to her, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the set apart one. Remember Pastor mentioned that the other night? Someone would come in and they're not dressed in that right attire, and he's going to look over and say, they ain't got that white linen on. They got to get out. Given to be dressed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the set apart ones. And he said to me, write, blessed are those who have been called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of Elohim. Notice who the fine linen is given to, the set apart ones. Listen, we want to be set apart. You want to be odd. I didn't know just following scripture makes you odd, but it does. Just wrap your head around that. Doing the scripture makes you odd. Wow. That falling away. Think about that. Isaiah 2, 1 through 4. The word that Yeshayahu, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Yehuda and Yerushalayim, and it shall be in the latter days that the mountain of the house of Yah is established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. And many peoples shall come and say, come, and let us go to the mountain of Yah, to the house of the Elohim of Yaakov, and let him teach us his ways, and let us walk in his paths. Can you imagine being taught his ways? And let us walk in his paths, for out of Zion comes forth the Torah. Man, listen, there's no coincidence that we're learning the Torah. He picked us for a reason. Set apart ones. And think about being taught by the Torah teacher himself. Man, I tell you, when we can taste it and see it and feel it and smell it, wow, it's going to be powerful. In the word of Yah from Yerushalayim, and he shall judge between the nations and shall reprove many peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, neither teach battle anymore. Wow. It's restoring it to its original creation. It's not that dog-eat-dog world. It's going to restore it back. Sukkot is a picture of Yahweh restoring all things back to its original order. Yahweh is loving his creation, and his creation loving Yahweh. That's what Sukkot's all about. So many things what it's all about. Just him restoring it back to, and him loving us, and us in return showing him, Father, we're loving you. That's what we're Sukkotin' about. That's what it's all about. And this is the stop slide. Till the eighth day, and there's plenty more for the eighth day. But listen, get ready for the eighth day. We gotta come in here with a step, with a shout, with excitement. I mean, this is not being excited. Listen, he did something for us. Think about it. He sent his only son. He gave his best. No more animals. I gave you my best. There's only one thing that can take away your sins. Animals just covered it. And he's telling you, rejoice in this whole week. Because I'm a restorer. I'm going to dwell with y'all. I'm going to be in your midst. Hallelujah. So good to us. Let's stand. We're going to rejoice right now. If you didn't in the first part of the service, we're going to do